Today, the RBA admits around 135,000 mortgaged households have a cash flow problem. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analysis, welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Well, last week turned out to be an important one in terms of household finances and mortgage rates. The RBA this last week said households are generally weathering the record run of interest rate rises well, but 1 in 20 owner-occupied mortgage holders are in a dire financial position because of high interest rates and the cost of living increases. On average, debt servicing costs have risen somewhere between 30 and 60% since the RBA started hiking its cash rate in May 2022. That said, less than 1% of all housing loans were 90 days or more days in arrears, though loans with payments overdue of less than 90 days have, quote, continued to tick up gradually and are expected to continue to increase in part because of weak household consumption. Despite the trajectory of interest rates, ongoing strength in the labour market enables most people to keep up with rising debt repayment levels, the RBA said. That's in its quarterly financial stability report. These challenges would intensify if economic conditions were to deteriorate by more than expected, or if inflation is more persistent than forecast. In fact, on Tuesday, RBA Governor Michelle Bullock, in her second media conference under the central bank's new regime, slightly softened the board's previous purported interest rate tightening bias to say instead that it was not ruling anything in or out.
As you'll have seen, the board decided to hold its policy rate steady again at this meeting. A few points I'd like to make up front before I move to questions. First of all, we're making progress in our fight against inflation, but it does remain high. As we've discussed before, in fact, at this previous press conference, it really is the big challenge in front of us. It confronts borrowers, renters, savers, retirees. It hurts everyone, inflation. And that's why it's so important that we get inflation back into target band of 2 to 3%. So recent data suggests we're on the right track, but the interest rate path that best ensures we bring inflation back to target does remain uncertain. And we're keeping a keen eye also on employment numbers because, as I've said before, we want to hold on to as many gains in the labour market as we can. What we need is greater confidence that inflation will return to the target band in a reasonable time frame and will stay there. So domestic data over recent weeks have been largely as expected. The board believes the risks to the outlook are finally balanced and that it's too soon to rule anything in or out. The data showed a slowing in GDP growth in the December quarter, slightly higher unemployment rate, slightly higher wages growth, and a further moderation in inflation. We understand that households are still bearing the brunt of this inflation challenge. We see that in the weak consumption data, and we know that there is a big cost of living squeeze on households. Unemployment's also ticked up a bit. Employment's continuing to grow, but these are firmly on the board's radar, and that's why we're being cautious.
She said the board needed to be convinced that inflation was moving sustainably into target before cutting rates. I'm worried about inflation. I still firmly believe that we're on a narrow path and there are risks on each side. That's why the board has been cautious, and in fact, rightly so, as it turned out, because later in the week, we got much stronger employment data than expected. Though, as I've been highlighting, this data series moves around, even as the ABS tries to tweak the seasonal adjustments and even the trend series. I discussed this in an earlier post. The unemployment rate also dropped sharply from 4.1% to 3.7% after 116,500 jobs were added in February, and the earlier retail spending data for January at 3% was the highest annual growth since September 2023. But inflation remains sticky, and even anticipated reductions in power bills later in the year are likely to be offset by reductions in government support. And then on Friday, we got the latest 39-page financial stability report from the RBA. This comes out twice a year and considers the risks in the financial system. They concluded that while the outlook for the global economy has improved following the peak in inflation, global financial stability risks remain elevated. Although pressure from high inflation and tight monetary policy continues to weigh on many households and businesses, a number of developments, including the resolution of supply chain disruptions, declines in energy prices, continued strength in labour markets, strong household balance sheets, and solid corporate earnings, have contributed to the global economy's resilience to date, they said. Among the global risks, several stand out as having the potential to adversely affect financial stability in Australia. And they include further weakness in the Chinese property sector, which could interact with ongoing macro financial vulnerabilities there. If stresses in the Chinese economy and financial system intensified or broadened, they could spill over to the rest of the world, including Australia, through trade channels and an increase in global risk aversion. Elsewhere, conditions in the global commercial real estate markets could deteriorate further. High interest rates and ongoing weak demand, particularly for older or lower quality offices, continue to put pressure on borrowers. While the direct risks are largest in those international banking systems highly exposed to CRE, conditions in Australian CRE markets could be affected by the repatriation of foreign investment following a decade or so where foreign investments in Australia CRE increased notably. Another risk factor to consider is the worse than expected macroeconomic outcomes coupled with fragilities in market functioning, which could result in a disorderly adjustment in financial asset prices. Market participants' expectations for a soft landing in the global economy, as seen in low risk premium and volatility, could leave financial markets vulnerable to an adverse shock. Possible triggers for an abrupt repricing in market risk premium include global inflation proving more persistent than expected, or a severe adverse geopolitical event. And disruptions to the functioning global financial markets could be amplified by shortcomings in the management of leverage and liquidity mismatches, including by non-bank financial intermediaries in key financial centres, as seen on several occasions in recent years, and threats originating outside the global and domestic financial system do continue to build. These include cyber risks, risks associated with climate change, and geopolitical tensions. Turning to the Australian situation specifically, they say that conditions will remain challenging for many households and businesses in Australia this year. This is especially true for lower income households, including many renters, and the indebted households already facing acute budget pressures. That said, under the economic outlook presented in the February Statement on Monetary Policy, those pressures are expected to gradually ease over the next few years as inflation declines and real incomes rise. Of course, those assumptions are outdated now. The Financial Stability Review notably did not model the impact of the revisions to the Stage 3 tax cuts that will come in from 1 July. The amendments trimmed the tax cuts being received by those earning more than around $160,000 a year, distributing them to those earning less. The review assumed the RBA's cash rate would come down to 3.9% by the end of 2024, or about 225 basis point cuts from its current level. That's based on market forecasts in February. Of course, the cutoff for data used to prepare the Financial Stability Review was the 18th of March, before the latest market adjustments, which have now delayed rate cuts. Delving into their analysis, the RBA says that home borrowers are cutting back on discretionary spending and switching to cheaper items to deal with cost of living pressures and to prioritise paying their mortgages. Just 1% of homeowners had fallen at least 3 months behind on their mortgage repayments as they adjusted to the higher living costs and debt repayments. The RBA said about 5% of borrowers on owner-occupied variable rate loans were spending more than they'd earned to cover the higher expenses and mortgage repayments. So, if we assume around 3.5 million households with a mortgage, this would translate to around 125,000 households cutting back based on their spending. Despite this, most of those, they say, have large savings buffers, with all but 2% of owner-occupiers with variable rate loans still having at least 6 months' worth of savings. Strong conditions in the labour market, the large savings buffers accumulated by many borrowers during the pandemic, and rising house prices are helping households to adapt to challenging economic conditions, the Reserve Bank said. Overall, the RBA expects a share of borrowers having a negative cash flow to fall from 5% to below 3% into 2025 as inflation moderates and the cash rate declines as expected in February. Even if interest rates remain higher for longer, where the central bank has modelled to capture rates that are 0.5% higher than current projections, its latest analysis says the share of borrowers in negative cash flow will edge up only to 6%. That led the RBA to conclude that the financial system would stand firm, although it could not discount an external shock, as we discussed earlier. But the ability of households to service their debts is coming at a cost as they cut back on discretionary spending. We see this in our survey's analysis, where more households are in net negative cash flow and so are indeed cutting back. This will have a broader economic impact. And they don't even mention the 3 million renting who are also under the gun thanks to higher rents, where more are under severe financial pressure and so, again, reducing consumer spending activity. While the US and Australian economies are proving resilient, higher interest rates are beginning to bite in some other countries, the United Kingdom and New Zealand, which have among the highest interest rate settings amongst developed economies, have entered technical recessions amid slow GDP growth. The Financial Stability Review points out that Australia's banks are, quote, well prepared to handle an expected increase in loan losses in the period ahead. Given current loan loss levels were low, the report said that although insolvency filings had spiked to pre-pandemic levels, the banks had little exposure to these failed businesses. Now, it's worth noting that the money market on Friday priced in the first 25 basis point cut by the RBA, now delayed until November. That's according to ANZ and Westpac, pushing back from the as soon as August cut that investors had been betting on just last week. ANZ's economics team is sticking to its call that the RBA will start to cut rates in November. We will get some rate cuts eventually, but we probably won't get a lot. It's all consistent with higher for longer interest rates, they said. So 3 points to make here. First, the RBA uses data from securitized mortgages for their modeling, which is a hand-picked sector of the mortgage book and probably better than average. Other data shows higher mortgage defaults, especially from some smaller lenders and from subprime loans. Second, the assumptions about rate cuts, which the RBA used, are based on what the markets are saying. That's history now. The cutoff for data used to prepare the Financial Stability Review was the 18th of March 2024, before the latest market adjustments, which now delay rate cuts. And thirdly, financial stability is a financial systems lens, not a household well-being lens. If you look at household confidence and spending patterns, we see considerable pressure on some households who will choose to cut back elsewhere to make mortgage repayments. Higher repayments are restricting demand in some sectors of the economy, alongside renters, of course, but those without mortgage commitments with assets in the stock markets or term deposits are doing much better, and they, alongside many more affluent households, continue to spend strongly and freely. The social instability being created by RBA policy, as pressure is turned up on just some segments of the population, should be the focus. Remember that in actual fact, the RBA does have other levers it could pull, but it chooses not to use them. Interest rates is a horribly blunt lever. But the bottom line is this. After this past week, it does look like rates will be higher for longer, and any expected easing will be limited and possibly too late for many mortgaged households. It really is a bit of a pickle. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.